Of Acts, chapter 4, everybody. Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at something totally different tonight. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 29. Let me explain it like this. You've got in the spirit really three great distinct experiences that the Holy Ghost talks to us about, the disciples were filled with. Before we read Acts 4, he approaches them, and remember where he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." And that Greek word there is Zoe, Z-O-E, beautiful name for your little girl. Zoe means life, means enlightenment. Means the scales fell off their eyes and they saw him. What we try to get people to do all the time. Paul said, lest the light of the glorious gospel, scales fall off. They can't see. You don't understand, you that see at times, because they can't see. You got to approach it like that. The scales have blinded them. So they receive Zoe, life. He turns around, preached Sunday morning, and told the Zoe recipients, his disciples, go to the upper room in Acts 2, as we know it. You will be filled with dunamis, showing the difference. Denominations, listen to me. The difference is plain to me in English. But to go deeper, it's more plain in the Greek text. It's not the same word, not the same experience. They receive Zoe. He told the Zoe recipients, when I ascend, go to the upper room, Zoe. You're going to get the dunamis, preach Sunday morning. Dynamite, you that wasn't here. Reproductive power. Power capable of reproducing itself at the point of contact. It's a reproductive anointing that is in us. Go to the upper room, now Zoe, and let me put the icing on the cake. Let me put some dynamite, dunamis, power with that Zoe, that life. But it doesn't stop there. In many spirit-filled full gospel circles, we stop with Acts chapter 2. Here's our fault. We get people saved. We get them to take the trip. We tell them to the upper room. Climb the stairs, brother. Get the dynamite of God. And yet there's still more. There's still more. It isn't finished. The same disciples in Acts 2 are now going through persecution. In Acts chapter 2, the dynamite comes alive with the Zoe. We're mixing up the spiritual chemistry now. Inside of a human being's body. In Acts 3, Peter and John walk out, and the first undeniable miracle is the man lame at the gate beautiful. What a miracle. It isn't something inward that a test has to show or time. People with their eyes, signs and wonders, Sunday morning, they look, and Peter, fasting his eyes upon him, said, silver and gold have I none. As the poor man, the lame man, rattled his cup, wanting alms, give me not money. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. You can tell he's a Pentecost preacher, he's broke. He said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money. But such as I have, give I thee. Here's that transferable anointing. He reached out and touched him. He grabbed his hand. He touched the lame man's hand. When he did, the power in the apostle goes through his arm, hits the lame man's arm, goes down through the body like an electrical current, and God knows how to hit the spot. He hits the lame legs, and the man jumps up running. Didn't say he crawled or walked. Remember, he's never, 38 years, he's never crawled. He's been lame from the waist down all of his life. Legs are like toothpicks. There's no muscle at all. He's never used them. His arms have been his legs, pulling himself around. And now it said, things we miss. He jumps up and he didn't even walk. He don't know what baby steps are. He took off immediately running into the temple. He ran. And where did he run? Among the religious guys. He was showing them his new legs. Look. God put the muscle just like that. Wasn't no gradual healing to it. When God heals you, you're healed. When God heals you, you're healed. The legs are there. The muscles back put in the leg. Never been there. The size of the legs are larger. He can't, the look, everything. Now he's jumping around, leaping and praising, it says. But he ran in the temple. And the questions began to be answered and the persecution arose. They brought Peter and John into the religious council. And they said, tell us by what power, by what authority this man, how does he stand here before us whole? I believe Peter said, first of all, I want to thank you for this platform. I want to thank you for asking that question. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, thank you in the name of the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead on the third day. And here's what he said. Get ready. Men and brethren, this man stands here before you whole. I'm quoting King James. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Watch it. Who you crucified and whom God has raised from the dead. In the original translation, here's what the Apostle Peter said. Men and brethren, this man stands here before you whole because my brother John and I, we are in connection with the name of Jesus. We have connected ourselves with our free moral agent will. We have connected ourselves in all of our busyness. We've taken time to stop and connect ourselves to the authority of Jesus in His name. We are representatives of Him. He has ascended into heaven. He's two-legged, two-legged body is not here to speak to you right now, so we will speak for Him. We are now His body. His two arms will not put you in water and baptize you, but we will. Standing in His stead. We stand in His name. We baptize in the name of the Lord. Whether we say Jesus' name or whether we say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it really don't matter to Him at all. What matters is before we baptize you, you knowing who we stand instead of. His body is not here. Oh, excuse me. His two-legged, two-armed body isn't here, but His body is. Because He laid down His body at Calvary, two-legged, two-armed body, that He might pick Him up a new body at Pentecost. And we just came from the upper room. We are now, look at the body of Christ. We are now the body of Christ in Paris, Tennessee. Just as real as a two-legged, two-armed body. But we got to have the same chemistry inside that His two-legged, two-armed body had, or we can't do what He did. So now we have been filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We have spoken, they said, with other tongues, all 120. Not 119 and one left out. Not 110 and 10 left out. All 120. We had cloven tongues like as a fire setting on our head. The rushing mighty wind came in the upper room. We have experienced with our eyes the feeling of the wind. It was not because someone forgot to shut the door. This wind came from within the room, the heart of the room, like a person and went out. Instead of starting without like a storm and coming in. And all chaos hit. Persecution began. Y'all ready for this, Pentecost bunch? You listening? And tongues wasn't enough. They even needed something more than the Zoe and the dynamite, the dunamis. And we go to the third level of experience recorded, Acts chapter 4, our text. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Watch this. And when they had prayed, the disciples that just got out of Acts chapter 2 upper room, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Excuse me? Watch this. Don't miss this. Acts 2, he shook them. Y'all watching where I point? Acts chapter 4, he shook the building. They're not the place, they're in the place. He shook them in Acts 2. Watch this experience. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. When they had prayed, 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, the building, the rafters. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hold on a minute, I thought they were just filled 2 chapters ago. 2 chapters ago, they were all filled. Acts chapter 2, when they gathered one accord in one place, suddenly like a mighty rushing wind, etc. And they were all, I'm quoting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I thought they was already all filled. We got the same ones now with a few more gathered in Acts chapter 4. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they're assembled together and they were all filled. There's levels of the anointing. It's what I tell people all the time that many of our preachers don't. We win them to Jesus. We make sure whatever, the tongues, whatever. And then we stop. And I'm telling you, we've been ignorant. It's bothered me for 40 years of my salvation. And I tell people there's levels. There's other experiences that's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the same Spirit. There's only one Spirit. But listen to me tonight. Tonight I'm going to talk about the authoritative boldness. I'm going to take our text. Go ahead and close your Bible. Lay it beside you. The authority of the Holy Ghost. Man, I could call this message tonight the authoritative boldness. I could call it tonight, you either bold or cold. I'm going to pick me a title in a minute. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what I've noticed about the Spirit of God. Is you never stop the freshness. The blessings and freshness is new every morning. We quote that and sing songs about it. But I began to notice in the Holy Ghost, you've heard me say, let me reminisce just a minute. Some of you have heard me say, one guy said to me one time, he said, give me the difference. You're a Lutheran coming into this. He said, your dad was a Methodist, your mother was a Lutheran. They got together, got married, conceived, had a Pentecost preacher. And the guy sitting on the plane, the Baptist preacher, he said, I want to ask you a question. I know what you're going to say because he said, I know what y'all believe and you know what I believe. So he said, I like you a lot. We're both soul winners. He said, but I want to ask you this question. He said, give me a one-liner of the difference of salvation and the baptism of the Spirit. Give me, in your experience, Lutheran, Methodist, turned evangelist, preacher, what is the difference to you in the Zoe and the Dunamis? As I tried to explain the Zoe and Dunamis to him, it's not the same experiences. The words aren't the same. Hot water, cold water. It's water, but it's not the same. Red paint, blue paint. It's paint, but it's not the same. They're different. And he said to me, explain to me what happened to you. I said, I'm going to explain it like this. When I was born again, the Holy Ghost was resident. When I got the baptism, he became president. He was resident. I'm not arguing with you. I love you, man. You're my brother, my Baptist brother, Methodist brother that's really a brother. They're just as much a brother as Assembly God brother. I don't have no problems with all that. I make the statement all the time. Listen, look at me. I'm a white boy from the South. Are y'all ready? I love turnip greens. Where are my sisters at tonight? Can I be honest with you? We've always kidded back and forth. You know, black folks kid about it and white folks kid about it. Not to cut anybody. It's just a funny deal. You know, the joke about white boys can't jump, hello, all that. That don't offend me because I can jump, amen. I can run and jump. I'm going to tell you right now, I can outrun a lot of brothers. Always could in track and field. Now, you with me? I'd outrun all the white boys. Now, listen to me. I'm not making this up. My favorite food. I'm from Arkansas, South Arkansas, 20 miles from Louisiana. 80 miles from Mississippi, 80 miles other direction from Texas. My wife's from Alabama, born in Tuscaloosa. She's Roll Tide all the way. I picked her up on the first date. I said, football fan? She looked at me like I'm stupid. I'm driving. I just asked her, my God, I just asked her. I didn't mean to offend you. I said, are you a football fan? She said, yeah, yeah. Beautiful woman, yeah. Her voice changed. Yeah. She didn't go, yes. Yeah, like dummy, ignorant, amen. Let me out if you ask that again. And I said, well, great. And being in Alabama, I said, what team are you for? That isn't a stupid question. I asked her, here in Alabama, what team are you for? Meaning Alabama or Auburn. And she looked at me and told me quick. She said, I'm for Alabama and whoever's Auburn's playing on Saturday. She said, that's the two teams I want to win, Alabama and whoever's playing Auburn. I said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry for asking. So I'm this Caucasian boy from the South. Y'all with me? Blonde-headed, blue-eyed. Guess what my favorite food is? Three of them. Guess what I'm serious. It ain't tacos. Jesus. I eat tacos, but that ain't my favorite. It ain't Chinese food. Fried chicken. Fried chicken. Guess what else? Turnip greens and collard greens. Not out of a can in the store, out of the garden. Give me a sister that can cook them. Greatest food of all. I ain't ever met a white woman cook collards like a black woman. Let me have a sister that'll cook me some collards and some cornbread. You can have your tacos, your enchiladas, your burritos. Chinese, are you kidding me? Chinese food? I ain't prejudiced. I don't want Chinese food when I can have fried chicken. Are y'all with me? Collard greens. And I'm going to tell you my favorite of all, watermelon. Watermelon. Give me a good watermelon with salt. It's my three favorite foods. But when I sit down at a table with any white, black, yellow, red, or purple polka dotted people, no matter who I sat with, and they go, collards? You eat collard greens? I don't go, I don't like you, man. Because you don't like collard greens. And I don't get up from the table and leave and go, I'm done with you. I can't stand you, man. Because you don't eat collard greens. You know what I say? I love you, man. Will you pass the collard greens down here and the fried chicken and the watermelon? I'll eat your collard greens and your watermelon and your fried chicken. I just say, okay. So when people say, I got the blood of Jesus, I'm born again, I've got the Spirit, don't tell me or insinuate I don't have the Spirit, I just tell them, okay. If you don't want the tongues, I'll take them. Pass them down here. If you don't want the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, pass it down here. I'm not going to get up from the table if you're eating at the table with me, which is Jesus. I'm just going to say, I hope you want to eat it one day. I don't understand why you don't like collard fried chicken and watermelon. How can anybody, my mother said one time, 87 years ago, how can, I don't understand something. She looked like she's having a spiritual moment. I said, Mom, what is it? Maybe I can help you. She said, how can anybody not like watermelon? I said, Mom, I thought we was going to get deep in the Lord and you're talking about watermelon. I don't get up. I just say, pass it here. If you don't want healing, pass it here. I'm going to need it one day. If you don't want the fullness, pass it here. You want Zoe and not the dunamis, pass your portion of the dunamis down here. If you don't want the Holy Ghost authoritative boldness, here we go. Pass it down here. In the early church, there were three great experiences documented that went inside. Zoe, the dunamis Sunday morning, and now Acts 4. The authority, the authoritative boldness that entered into them. Why do I need this experience? Individually, church corporately. Listen, Paris, church and visitors. The enemy has strategically planned your defeat. You better start strategically planning your victory. The enemy has got a plan, hurdles, obstacles, roadblocks, demonic attacks set up, habitually premeditated, strategically to take you out. You had better start strategically getting real. Quit leaving out all the chemicals. Sometimes one chemical keeps it from being a bomb. Ask a terrorist. Ask a terrorist what all the oopla about us stopping Iran and stopping North Korea. They lack one more chemical. They lack one more, the uranium of doing something with it. And everybody knows once they enrich that to the degree they need to and put it in a warhead that'll fly over the United States, whether it comes from L.A. to hit New York City or whether it comes from New York City to hit L.A. And that's what our leaders that have any sense know about. Sometimes only one thing lacks in a bomb of becoming a bomb. And I'm telling you, sometimes I see people that only one thing lacks in your spirit. One thing lacks from shaking this town. It started with 120, the reason God specifically gave us the number. It started with 120 in the upper room. It crossed the oceans. It crossed the seas. No technology. No technology. No automobiles. No Facebook. No computer. No printing press. You know what they had? They had Zoe. They had dunamis. And they got in Acts chapter 4 an authoritative, bold authority. And when the boldness that is in that package deal of spirit came alive in them, that devil knew. No wonder Acts 19 verse 10 said, in 2 years, all of Asia heard the word. Asia is a continent, not a country. All of Asia, what? Heard the word. Didn't say they accepted. It ain't up to us to force them to accept. It's up to us to make sure they hear the word. We force them to hear, not force it for them to accept. In Acts 19, 10, 2 years, one of our continents heard the word of God. Now, I know the population back then wasn't what it's today, but look at the law of percentage. They did not have what we've got. There was no technology. They lived like in the Abraham the patriarch's day. They tell us that if you lived in America, in Abraham Lincoln's day, technology-wise, living in Abraham Lincoln's day in America would be equal, technology-wise, to living in Abraham the patriarch of the Bible's day. They rode a camel, rode a horse, rode a donkey. Listen to me, had horse and buggy. They lit lanterns at night. They lit candles. Their fire was strictly wood. Hear me. But there's something that passes all cultures. There's something that goes beyond, no matter the time you were born and raised in. The dispensation of the century. And it started off with three dimensions. Three spiritual experiences. I preach for a lot of preachers, Brother Eric. They've got dunamis. They've got the Zoe. And they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But they don't have what I'm preaching tonight. They don't have it. I asked a guy one time named Leon Morrow. Leon Morrow, you mind if I just kind of talk to you like this tonight and get you, I want to get you filled. I want to get these three experiences in you tonight. I'm going to tell you some stories that happened to me if you don't mind. I like to change my style every now and then. It keeps me fresh. And it really is going to get you to see tonight before we get you filled with all three dimensions tonight. These three spiritual chemistries. I'm going to call it chemicals. Oh, I love it. We're going to mix them and pow, they're going to go. You're going to see your life different. Leon Morrow was a great preacher, scriptorian preacher. Preached one night an hour and 10 minutes on the resurrection. He never made a statement. He quoted scriptures for an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes on the resurrection. Nobody budged. Preached on the rapture of the church one night, an hour and 20 minutes. He never made a statement. He just closed his eyes and preached. An elderly man, scriptorian preacher. He evangelized 27 years, pastored probably 20. Passed away a while back in Atlanta, Texas, by Texarkana. I preached for him. First revival. It was even before I went full time, September 11th of 83. I was in his Atlanta, Texas church working an oil well mining cable job. Got off Friday afternoon, about 2.5 hours from where I live. Got off at 4 o'clock and just took off driving from the factory. To start at 7, a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He opened his church. I hadn't even read through the whole Bible. I hadn't read through the whole Bible yet. I said, Brother Morrow, I've heard about your preaching. I'm nervous. I got with him in his office. I said, Brother Morrow, what do I do? I'm about to quit my job coming up. I'm cold turkey quitting. I got a little bitty baby girl. She was 50 then when I left, 56 days old. I said, she's not even born yet. I'm about to take off. I'm quitting my job, my health care, everything. Good hourly wage making oil well mining cable, an Amer cable, a great out of Worcester, Massachusetts, in South Arkansas. I said, what do I do? He said, he looked over at me. He said, here's what I want you to do. Every day I want you to read yourself full. I want you to pray yourself hot. I want you to get up that night and pour yourself out. He said, then get up the next day and read yourself full. Pray yourself hot. Get up that night and don't you stop. You pour yourself out. Our nation needs preachers that know how to pour themselves out. We know how to take it in. We don't know how to pour it out. Read yourself full. Pray yourself hot. In other words, get the chemicals. Get the spiritual things that God has and don't leave one out. When you receive enlightenment, jump on it, get it, and start flowing. And that's what I've done for these 35 years. The bold authority. Listen to this as I breeze through. I just want you to hear this. You've read over it and really didn't get it. Maybe with the angle tonight of the text in Acts 4, 18 through 20. Don't turn, listen. And they commanded Peter and John not to speak. Look how many times the boldness, this third spiritual ingredient, they rely on it. It's in conflict. It's in the midst of persecution. Nearly everybody in here is going through some type of conflict we preached last night. Whether it's a test from God, whether it's a demonic attack, whether it's hell in the home with your non-born again family, the prodigal sons and daughters we prayed for Sunday morning, your finances, your family, I keep saying spiritually, physically, financially, I'm telling you, in one of those four categories, usually we line up on what we're going through. And they said, Acts 4, 18 through 20, they commanded Peter and John with persecution not to speak. Listen to what Peter said, whether it be right. He faces persecution after the third chemistry, after the third chemical, spiritually, this experience. We cannot but speak the things. Whether it be right in the sight of men or not, listen to talking to the government, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire, shut up my bones. He wasn't talking about a fire like in the fireplace. He's talking about this boldness that even Jeremiah in the Old Testament prophet had. Paul said, I want you to understand, nothing we did was kept in a corner somewhere. He said, with a bold authority, we made sure it wasn't kept in a back closet, spiritually speaking. We brought it all out. You know what Malachi said? We only hear about Malachi in the tithe. You know what Malachi said? And they that feared the Lord spake often, not seldom, often. They that feared the Lord spake often, one to another, about the things of the Lord. You ready? And it was recorded down in God's book of remembrance. I believe every time you witness and you talk to someone with the boldness of God, with the Zoe, dunamis, and the boldness, every time you talk to someone about God, it's recorded down in God's book of remembrance. Every time you don't talk to somebody about God that He has prompted you to set up, it's recorded down in God's book of remembrance. Are you ready for this? And when John the Revelator saw the throne, he saw the books. And we know there's more than two. Because he said, and I, John, saw at the throne of God, judgment day, the books, B-O-O-K-S. And in the Greek, it's plural. The word is plural. The books were open and another book was open. The books were open and another book was open. At least three mentioned, which was the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in that book was cast into the lake of fire. Huh. Watch this. If you love God, you're going to talk about Him. If you love God, you're going to talk, you're going to tell it. You're going to talk to your brother and sister about Him. You're going to sit at the same table. You're not going to jump up and run away. You're going to talk about the collards, the chicken, amen, are you with me? And the watermelon, the Zoe, the dunamis. You're going to talk about the things of God, and you're going to talk to people. Here we go. And it's going to be recorded down. Remember that in God's book of remembrance that'll be opened on that day. I'm convinced that's one of the books He saw that is at the throne. The book of remembrance misses nothing. In Proverbs 28:1, he said, the righteous are as bold as lions. One translation said, the pure in heart are as bold as lions. God spoke to me and said, Robbie, tell the people, their boldness will never surpass their purity level. I said, what? He said, boldness to approach man, boldness to approach the devil, boldness to approach the throne, to obtain mercy in time of need. Come boldly. There it is again. Boldly, vertical, to the throne of God, letting your requests be made known. In other words, that you might receive. So we approach vertically the throne boldly. We approach man about his relationship horizontally, boldly. We approach demonic activity, rebuking him, binding him,
How do you do it?
Boldness. But your boldness level will never surpass your purity level. Wow. Here's what John said. If our heart condemn us not. If our heart, when you get down to pray, your own heart, because of something in your life, try to pray tonight with something in your life, with nobody around. You'll think about what that thing is God wants you to get out. It's Him talking to you. And you can't, you're tongue-tied, man. You sound like Mel Tillis trying to pray. Amen. You're eloquent when you talk just regular English about subjects that aren't spiritual, good Lord. But you can't even pray. You got something in your life that God's dealing with you about. And your boldness can't surpass your purity level. Because if we have what? If we have confidence toward God. If our heart condemns, not the devil. If our own heart condemns us not. Then have we confidence. That word confidence translated boldness. We have boldness toward the throne of God. And God, that whatever, whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive of Him. Greatest thing you can do for you, pray, is get that out of your life. You'll see the difference. That's for somebody here. Felt it. Acts 13:46. Watch this. Church split. Acts 13 is the first New Testament church split that we see so much of in America today. Acts 13:46. And when the congregation had broken up, split, arguing, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold in their God to speak. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. In much conflict, Paul said, we were bold in our God to speak. Ephesians 6:19, Paul raising the dead, but he requests prayer from the church. Man raised the dead, wasn't he prayer for? Here's what he said. 6:19 of Ephesians. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Boldness opens up revelation knowledge of the word. One verse down, Ephesians 6:20. Seeing that we are ambassador in bonds, pray that we may speak boldly, there it is, as we ought to speak. Hebrews 13:6, pray for me that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may stretch forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, A-L-L, filled with the bold authority of God. And they did not speak in tongues here. In Acts 4, that was 2. There's a time for all of it. There's a time to speak in tongues. There's a time for you to shut your mouth from them. Refrain from them. It's not time. They spake the word that the people could understand with boldness. You still with me? Here we go. Here we go. You've heard me say before in soul winning messages. 50 people winning one soul a year turns into 100. 100 of you winning for 365 days, one person a year. Next year you got 200. January through December of 1 year, 200 wins one soul apiece. Paris, Bridge of Hope, you got 4. 400 turns into 800. 8 goes into 16. 16, 32, 32, 64. 64 rounded off. Let's say 12,500. 12,500. Round, go double it, what? 25,000. 25, 50. You know what I just gave you? 365 days a year. Each one of you started with 50 people, which is more than that here tonight. You win one soul apiece a year. In 10 years, you got 50,000. It don't just work on your money. But why aren't we seeing the pattern? It's a pattern of what God should do to grow. Because people don't have boldness. Come on. They get Zoe and dunamis. You ready? I'm not mocking. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Jerk our neck, raise our hands, do our jig, dance our jig, do our dance. And we're missing the third ingredient. We don't seek the third ingredient. It's a bold authority. We stammer. We don't even know what to say. We're scared to talk to people. Oh, afraid they'll stump us. That's right when you see a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, freak out. Oh, God. God, if they start talking to me, I don't know what I'm going to tell them. Boy, I do. I know what I'm going to tell them. I don't understand you and me in church all these years. You don't know what you're going to tell them. I know what I'm going to tell any Antichrist person, any Antichrist cult. You know what John said in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not St. John? You know what John said? Any man or movement or whatever on the earth that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as God, he is of the Antichrist. Anybody that... No, they all say he's a good teacher. He was a great teacher. Oh, yes, we love Jesus, the Mormons say. He's a great teacher 2,000 years ago. We can glean from his teachings today. Very relevant. Oh, he's a good man. Great. No, he's either God or he ain't a good man. Jesus is either God in flesh or he's the biggest liar ever walked the earth. If he ain't God, he was worse than Adolf Hitler. He's the biggest imposter ever worked the earth. I'm telling you, if he wasn't God in flesh, Emmanuel, God wrapped up in flesh, he was the biggest liar ever walked the earth. He didn't say, I'm just a man. I'm just a prophet, son of God for this day. You know, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it myself. You know why? Because I am God. And John said, no matter how pretty they are, no matter how sweet their spirit is, if they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as God, as the, not a Savior. Oprah, you're wrong. He ain't a Savior. He's the Savior. Ellen DeGeneres, you're wrong. He ain't a way to get to God. Jesus, listen to me, is the way. I don't care who you hang around. Jesus is the way. I boldly proclaim that tonight. In the name of the Lord. Woo! Pardon my English. Pardon my English. I already told you where I'm from. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Come on, Tennessee. You're real close to Kentucky. Okay. All right, some of y'all didn't like that. But I don't like them Arkansas, Texas jokes either all the time. You ready? Whew. Pastor calls us. Here it is. Pastor calls soul winning class. This is funny. Soul winning class. Oh, I feel like the Lord, Brother Eric Keller says this. Want us together on Tuesday and Thursday nights. So we're going to go over debating things. And I've got an outline here y'all are going to memorize. And in 4 weeks, we're going to start our campaign. In this small town, we're going to hit the county. We're going to run out of houses. We've already mapped out the streets. We got all the streets mapped out. We're going to go over everything. Every question you will be asked. You can cover the questions. You're going to be main questions is, do you really believe Jesus, Son of God? Prove to me He's the way. Prove to me the Bible's real. We're going to go over all that. And we're going to give you the answers. You're going to memorize them. You're not going to pull out a card or paper. A notepad. You're going to be we're going to give you time. And we're going to go over everything. Everybody's pumped. We're going to start on this street and that street, and five of you are going to go down so-and-so. You're not going to be by yourself. We're going to send you out by at least 3, 4, 5. We're going to get our van, our bus, whatever. We're going to meet here at 6 o'clock, and we're going to hit this thing. And in amount of time, we're going to cover, like Acts 19:10, the entire continent. We're going to cover Paris, Tennessee. And everybody's going to hear explicitly. Shut the door in our face. That's the only way they're not going to hear. Everybody's pumped. Boy, y'all are praying. All of a sudden you got your bus or whatever. Y'all going to disperse people. We pull up. Let them out over here. Let them out there. We'll see you back here. And da-da-da. I mean, you got it down. You're ordered. We're going to reach this thing. Everybody's so pumped. We're in these four walls right here. Ooh, everybody's talking in tongues. And give me your hand. Brother, give me some power. Come over here, brother. I'm going to give you some power to witness. Oh, God, fill them with boldness or whatever. And they're going to speak in tongues and all of a sudden, they get off. Y'all get off. Get on the bus. Going down. Brother Eric's driving. That's a miracle right there. Brother Eric's driving that bus. He said, okay, first group, look at your map. You that's been assigned, strategically been assigned. He hits that bus door. Bridge of Hope, Assembly of God. We're carrying hope. We got the bridge of hope. If you're hopeless, get on this bridge. He pulls that lever, and all of a sudden, one or two of you get off. You're both there together. 4 weeks, you've been pumped. You look like this spiritually. I'm going to win. I'll win them all. Cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Zoe, dunamis. And all of a sudden, you're walking with your little buddy. There's two of you on this one. It's a small street. You're walking, and both of you, palms, your hands start sweating, going toward the door. Your first door. And all of a sudden, you get about 10 feet from the door. And you start mumbling, praying, embarrassed under your own breath. God. Ventriloquism. God, don't let nobody answer the door. Don't let them be home. Let them still be at work. Dead or something, God, but I don't want them over the door. You're looking over at your brother sitting there looking at you. They're praying the same thing. All of a sudden you go from here to here. You knock. Big old ugly guy. 6'5", 6'6". Big old beard. Big old beer belly. Got a big brown beer bottle in his hand. Got a Doberman Pinscher. Snarling Doberman Pinscher. He's holding his collar. He opens the door. It's 6 o'clock, supper time. What you want? What you want? Hey, let me tell you this. That Methodist, see, you lack something. That's what I'm saying. You get here, our life is in you, Lord. I mean, up here, you're like, it's like a cabaret. Woo! As long as you're in here, oh, Lamakonda Labahanda. Oh, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki. She came riding in on a Honda. Vroom, vroom. I am spiritual. Oh, I'm glad I go to this church. I'm just so spiritual. But as soon as you get out there, away from your peeps, your backup unit, you fall apart. Because you're missing a chemical. You're missing a chemical. I'm telling the answer tonight. That Methodist daddy, Lutheran mama. When I got born again, I was 18 and a half, still fixing to take off, leave home. Still at home. They didn't understand me. I got saved before they did. I got filled with chemicals before they did. And daddy owned a paint store, Mitchell Paint Center, Benjamin Moore distributor. He's at work, working hard, gets off 5:30 every day, closes shop, comes home. I had a mama that cooked 3 meals a day. Breakfast, lunch, supper. She cooked. So, not to bring conviction on you ladies that never cook. I did not mean to do that. Some of the men went, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I'm here to help you, marriage. Everybody look at me. Look at me. I'm here to help you. I got Phil. They wasn't good people. All-American people. Business people. Good people. Took care of me. I ain't never seen a Christian family take care of their kids more than my mom and dad that wasn't saved took care of me. My daddy'd kill you messing with me, man. You're dead. I'm telling you, dead. You hear me? That German Lutheran mother kill you. You mess with me. I'm not talking about hit you with a bat. I'm talking about dead. You don't mess with a boy and girl, see? So I'm home and 18, and I'm filled, and I'm full, man. The three chemicals have combined inside, and a bomb is going off. My blonde-headed, blue-eyed daddy, again, is up working. My black-headed, black-eyed German Lutheran mother's with me in the house. And she said, Robbie, she came to me and said, your father will be home at 5:30. I've got to run up to, I think, JCPenney, or something like that. And I got to get something real quick that I've ordered that I got to get back to the house. Do you want to run up with me? I said, yeah, Mom, I'll go up. Will you ride with you? So I get 18 and a half, born-again spirit-filled, full of boldness. I sit in the car with my non-born-again parents. They just went to church. She said, well, okay, I want you to go with me. Don't take this wrong. I want you to go with me. She said, but She said, your new religious experience you found, y'all hear the talk, lingo, your new religious experience you found, she said, let me see how to say that. Robbie, when we go in JCPenney, I just don't want you praying for everybody. Your father's coming home. She pointed. You got to get in there, get out, is what I'm saying. I said, Mama, you always worry about praying and all that. I said, well, you and Daddy get saved. I'll beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, young man. Me and your father, we're saved. All right, Mom. Need the Holy Ghost, Mama. I have the, what'd you call him? I have that. I have that. I believe Jesus is real and I love God. I love God. I was okay, Mama. All right. We got in there, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. I'll call her right now. Put her on speakerphone. She'll tell you the story. JCPenney, whatever. Cash registers back then. Push button. Girls at the counter. Let's see. We're working through. They're closing the store. People got to get to the counter and get out. So there's about eight. Let's see. It's coming. I'm now me, my mom, and eight people. Probably seven or eight people. And I come up the counter. I said, how you doing today? Young girl after school working. She said, I'm not doing good. Got her hand there. I said, what's wrong? She got a migraine headache. My Lutheran mother went. I promise she went. Your father. We're standing there. I said, come on. Got a migraine headache. Your father, the food, eat. I said, well, I'm a believer, born-again believer. She said, what's that? I said, well, I've recently been saved. Jesus came in my life, and I've been filled with the Spirit of God. And I've got the bold authority of God. And I'd like to... She said, well, what happens is, I have the pain, then the pain leaves. And then I get a migraine, and I can't see. I can't see. There's levels of this, and I go blind, and there's nobody to work for me, and I can't see the cash register. I have to feel it out like Braille to see if I'm pressing the wrong cat. Get me in trouble. The count at the end of the day. I said, I understand. I said, if you mind, I'm going to pray for you. She said, where do you go to church at? Do you want me to come to your church? I said, no. I want to pray for you here, right now. She said, here? I said, here. So help me, I went to pray. People outside, on the other side of my mother, seven or eight, they're over there going, they heard me. They're like, who is he? They're like this. They said, I don't know. What's he doing? They said, I don't know. Well, he's talking about headache going away or something. Does he claim to be a healer? They said, I don't know what he's doing. I just wish he'd hurry because... I need to pay this. Get out. I went to put my hand on the counter. Holy Ghost spoke to me. Three chemicals. Holy Ghost said, get them to pray with you. Get them to pray with you. I did. I just looked over, witnessing, man, boldness. I looked over at all eight of them. I said, she's real sick. I'm a believer, a Christian. I'm going to pray for her. I said, bow your head. All eight of them went. I'm telling you, all eight of them were going. Except my mama. She's going, 5:30, we got to go eat. Hurry. That's funny, man. I don't care what you say. God touched her. I was in South Louisiana, Cajun country, way down, Lafayette. Pastor. Great pastor. Son fired up. And Catholic Cajuns, you get them saved and filled. Son was youth pastor. His daddy said, hey, Monday, talk like the Cajun talk. He said, Jeff, his son Jeff,
said, yeah, Dad. He said, take Brother Robbie to Ma to eat. To Ma. Take to Ma. To Ma. You got a day in to Ma. Take Brother Rabbi. Rabbi. R-A-B-B-Y to them. How you spell Rabbi to occasion? R-A-B-B-Y. Rabbi. Take Brother Rabbi. Take him out to eat tomorrow. It's on you tomorrow. He said, I got this meeting, executive board meeting or something. I got to go. He said, I got him, Dad. I got him. I got him, Father. I got him. Youth pastor taking me out. I said, man, I'm ready to eat, man. Got hungry after Sunday. Where are we going? He said, it's on me, brother. Dairy Queen. Going to Dairy Queen, DQ. I'm not picky. He'll tell you I'm not picky. We went to Dairy Queen. We sit down at Dairy Queen. I mean, both of us. Whew, I thought I was bold until I got with a spirit-filled Cajun. I'm sitting there. It's packed, 12 noon. It's packed in Lafayette. They bring our meal. We order our meal. They say, we're so far behind. We'll just go to your table. We'll bring it. They brought his. It was right. I'm not picky, but they brought some. If you order a burger and they brought you a chicken strip. It's that. I said, well, you know, I'll go ahead and eat because it don't matter to me. I'm glad to have it. But no. They've been doing this. She's mad at them. So they're going to get it right. You have the double meat. I see us with mustard and mayonnaise. Yes. Everything. Take off the cheese. She said, I'm getting that for you. And onion rings. And a Dr. Pepper. A Dr. Pepper. She said, I'm taking it back. Took the orange tray back. I'm waiting. Jeff's sitting there. His food's getting cold. I said, Jeff, man, I don't care. Eat. I'll eat. You wait on me. I'll wait. Just go ahead and eat. I'll watch you. You wait on me. All of a sudden, he's eating. He said, Cajun, he said, let's pray. I thought he meant with his accent, pray. I know if you want me to pray, I thought he said he's going to pray. Packed out now. You know how close them booths are? Tables. There's this guy sitting over to the left. He's got his hair swooped back like Elvis. He's got a immaculate clothes on, like a suit, something, executive look. He's kind of uppity looking. Kind of got his nose up. His mannerism's like, ain't nobody in here look like this, or you know what, that, yeah, okay, all right. All right, Elvis. Y'all still with me? I bowed my head, because the Cajun would tell you when you pray, bow your head. That's the way they say it, bow your head. It's all like one syllable, bow your head. Bow your head. I bowed. Nothing's being said. I thought, well, maybe he wanted me to pray. And I opened my eye like this. And the Cajun, I learned my lesson. I thought I was bold. He had his hands up in the restaurant. He had his hands up in DQ, packed out. He's like feeling it out like this. Turning his head. I'm looking at him. I did. I learned my lesson. I went through school. I'm the evangelist. He's youth pastor. I was going, oh, God. I did. People started looking at him. He's over there like he's filling out something. Radar detector. Making ugly faces. Twisting his head. I did. I prayed. Lord, make him put his hands down. Get him, put his hands down right now. Let's just pray over the food. And all of a sudden, being a Cajun, ex-Catholic, he screams out. You know how they do? They all pray Father. They don't pray God in the name of Jesus. All of them go 100 times in a prayer. Father God, we come to you. And Father God, we thank you. And Father God, we praise you, Lord. And Father God, there's tonight we know, Lord, that you're sovereign. Father God, tonight, 25, 30 times in a prayer. I'm like, could you... Please, when he prays to you, stop him from saying Father God so many times. You know, really, it's different. And all of a sudden, he lets out this shrill. He goes, Father! I'm like, come. Drop fork under the table. Father! I don't mean father. Father! Shrill. Father! I'm like, geez. And I looked over at Elvis. And he had a burger that he had unwrapped. My food hadn't come yet. He's bringing it up to his mouth. He gets it right there. And the Cajun preacher goes, Father! He goes... He still wraps half of it. You see it in his mannerism. He's mad because of us praying. Throws down without touching the burger, without drinking. The paper's still on the top of the straw. Large drink. He goes, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. He did that. And he got up. And he walked out stomping like a little kid. Mad, letting us know. Because we prayed and he walked out. Well, I looked at Jeff. He looked at me. We're 20-something years old. And I went. I went. And he went. And Jeff said, you know, brother, they ain't brought you food yet. Rapper's still on it. He said, I dare you. Preachers, don't let this offend or hurt you in life. You're hearing preachers that act like this, a youth pastor and evangelist. We're young. We were so young. He said, I dare you. I said, don't dare me, man. He said, I dare you. He said, I double dare you. I said, triple, and I'm going to do it. He said, I triple dare you. I got up, so help me, I did. Evangelist. I went over in Lafayette, Louisiana. I looked around, he's gone. We offended that joker. He went out that door. I reached over and peeled that package back. Double meat. Had mayonnaise, mustard. I opened up a little cardboard box. Whoop, looked in it. Didn't want french fries. Onion rings. I looked at him. I said, what you think? He said, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Woo! I said, El Shaddai, not El Get By. Amen. More than enough. Are y'all with me? I open that cardboard box. It's onion rings. I took that little paper off the top of that straw. I said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Dr. Pepper. Set it down. I'm sitting there. You ready? You're killing me. You don't realize how much you're ahead of this. I'm sitting there. I peel it back. I'm eating it. Ketchup package out. Man, I got them onion rings. I'm sipping that Dr. Pepper. Jeff's laughing. He goes, praise God. You don't even have to pay. They never brought it. You don't have to pay. El Shaddai, got a plenty more than enough. We're carrying on, laughing how he stomped out over a prayer. He said, ran that devil off and all that. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I look up and Jeff's talking. And here comes Elvis. I thought he left. He just went to the bathroom and he's coming back to eat his food. So I said, Father! Father! He walked over. He looked like, I just know I was sitting here. So my point to this story is, Oh, I got one. You know me, I got one. Boldness with wisdom. The chemical of wisdom mixed with the chemical of spiritual boldness is amazing. Boldness without wisdom will cost you twice as much. Because I had to buy his meal. You with me? I had to go ahead and pay for mine too. Man. The chemistry. The chemistry. Tonight, I'm glad the youth showed up tonight. Tonight he's going to fill us. Now listen to me. Serious. Zoe. Dynamite. And when they had prayed, Lord, the place was shaken. They were all filled. Paul in Acts 19 laid his hands on all of John the Baptist's disciples. They met Paul, which was not one of the original 12. And they said, you're Paul? We've heard about you. He said, who are you? They said, John the Baptist's disciples. We continued on once he was beheaded. We joined up with some of the other guys, the Christians, at wherever. He said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And John the Baptist's disciples said, but we knew not of a Holy Ghost. And he said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism, which was repentance and water, like many non-spirit-filled denominations. Everybody watching me? Water. Repentance and water. For people that think all these experiences was for the book of Acts, in other words, the day of Pentecost only, following a few days with the lame man and Acts 2, 3, and 4. This is, history shows, 26 years after the day of Pentecost. When they tell you tongues and all this, chemistry was for the upper room only. This is proven fact, history, forget religious stuff. 26 years after the day of Pentecost, Paul runs into them. And it said he laid his hands on all of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You ready? And spake the word with boldness. They were all filled. They spake with other tongues and prophesied as the Spirit gave utterance. But you go on down, it said, and they were filled, all of them, with the third ingredient, the boldness in the Holy Ghost. Levels he takes us through. This will change this church. You'll go where you've never been before. I'm telling you. You'll fill this thing up. You'll fill this thing up. Brother Eric said today, he said, man, I want our church to grow more. I believe it's a 500 church at least. I said, I do too. But I said, I don't want to preach to you before I preach to you. I didn't want to discuss all this and it be second to him because he's already heard it. I wanted him to hear it tonight. Just a different style. I want to change up tonight. We've enjoyed this. I enjoyed pumping this out. I think you've enjoyed. It's a good revelation, what you just received. But I'm glad we all enjoyed this, but I didn't come just to enjoy it. I came to get you filled with the Spirit. Visitors, I understand how leery some are at times. I apologize over Pentecostal ignorance of the past. Grabbing people in headlocks, shaking their jaws, hitting them hard in the head, pressing on their necks. Screaming in their face, spitting all over you. Come in with your hair parted on the left side. Leave Pentecost altar service with your hair parted on the right side. And we wonder why. I can't understand why they didn't come back. grabbing people in headlocks, seriously, pressing noses in armpits, saying, receive, receive. Ain't nobody going to get the Holy Ghost like that. You know what Paul did? He didn't shake them. Holy Ghost shook them. He laid his hands on them and said, receive. Receive ye the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lay hands on you tonight. Receive Zoe. Receive dunamis. Sunday morning. Receive authoritative Acts chapter 4 and beyond. I quoted 12 scriptures. Boldness. And let me call this pastor in a month or two and see what has happened. Proof's in the pudding. You get him tonight, this community will never be the same. Amen. Young people, you get Phil, you'll rock that school. I'm telling you, you'll rock that school while your parents are supposed to be rocking the job place, not just there for hourly wage. Reason some young people, seriously, some of you, I don't know you, never win souls because your parents don't. Soul winning is contagious. When your mom, I've never seen a mother and dad that's a fiery bowl soul winner that their kids don't. It's contagious. You don't have to smoke a cigarette smell like it. I can light a cigarette, literal cigarette, Marlboro in my hand tonight, stay in this room. You don't have to smoke it, and I don't either. You'll all eventually smell like it. You'll have to get your clothes cleaned. You hear me? Woo! Some things are contagious. If a stinking cigarette is addictive and contagious, what is the three elements in the spirit when we get them everything God's got? Oh, it's a Holy Ghost is addictive. I've been addicted to things in the past. I've never in my life been addicted to anything. There's no addiction like it. Of the boldness of the Spirit of God changes lives. That ought to be addicting. Are you still with me? To people. All right, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Treva, you ready? Team, you ready? Real quick. Y'all come tonight, take your place. Bow your head, everybody. Bow your head, everybody. We're going to pray. Treva, with your substitute you have tonight, whatever you feel. We talked earlier, whatever you feel, it's fine. I didn't know you were having substitutes come in tonight for the others. So whatever you feel you're comfortable with is what we want. Bow your head. Say, God, I want everything. I want those three. I want those three spiritual elements. I want those three chemicals that the Holy Ghost gives. The Zoe. The life. I see. I see Him for who He is. I have revelation. Dunamis. Dynamite. Power. Power to lay hands. But now, I want that bold authority. I want that bold authority. I want to pray with it. Vertical. I want to talk to people horizontal with it. I want to cast out devils. Show me them demons. I'll cast them out. I'm not calling Eric Kelleher. I'm going to cast them out myself. These signs shall follow them that believe, not those that call the preacher in the midnight hours. That's ridiculous. Oh, I'm not knocking him. I'm telling you this. You ought to be doing it yourself. It's what he preaches. You ought to do it yourself. You're a believer. Right now tonight, I don't want to see your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand and wave it at me. I don't want you, if you can't boldly get up and get this, you will never receive it. After tonight, if you don't boldly, I'm not playing with you. If you don't boldly say, man, I'm feeling something here. I want this. I want what I heard tonight. I don't know, man, if you'll ever receive. It's fresh tonight. I want the boldness of God. I want the three elements in the Holy Ghost. You ready? Follow this woman. Ma'am, are you coming? Come on down here. You're the leader. She came before the altar call. Young people, think about it now. I want what I heard tonight. I want the boldness of God. I want the boldness of God. Thank you. Thank you.